from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, turn that mic on, Dirty. If you're going to party, you got to turn that damn mic on. I see Tyler rolling his eyes at me. I'll be damned. Hey, Texans report. Brandon Scott coming up at 4:40. B. Scott, Sports Radio 610.
Really, dog?
Hey, man. Yeah, B. Scott, really. It's always a good time. Make sure you're plugged in at that 4:40 mark. Guys, I was at practice today, and I didn't expect to see the level of intensity that I saw. I mean, like now, hindsight, I think, there's a joint practice coming up. Probably guys getting their juices flowing and getting their mind right, but with the Rams coming to town tomorrow for a joint practice, it all makes sense. Like D'Amico wants to get some work in with his ones, because tomorrow you're probably going to be somewhat limited in what you can do, because it's going to be contingent on another team and you got to work with them, and so. You know, you want to get a lot of good work in with your ones. Today was a lot of one versus one work once they got to team for the Texans. And I'm gonna tell you, man, Ron, I've had a close eye on one guy the entire camp. Well, a couple guys, but one of them more so than anybody given the situation. The second-round draft pick out of Georgia, Kamari Lassiter, that was immediately named the starter at corner. And
it seemed like it was immediate.
It was immediate to us, as far as we know. I know D'Amico tell you he went over his team, but that was a quick trigger on who the starter is at corner for an organization that typically talks a lot about creating competition. But I've watched him, and there's no doubt what we've heard from D'Amico is spot on. In terms of, he's obviously mature beyond his years. He knows the defense like the back of his hand somehow. He's never out of pocket, never out of place. He always knows where he's supposed to be. He's always where he's supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there. All that coach speak stuff. He is absolutely that. And it just seems like, you know, the whole stacking days thing is going really good for him. Ron, today... Again, just the team periods. Kamari Lassiter jumped off the field a couple times.
All right, there you go. That's good leading into leading into week one.
Tank, yeah, it's better than the alternative leading into week one. Tank Dell is running a go route. to the left side of the quarterback, and it's really just a route at this point in time where, hey, you just go run the corner off, right? And then Diggs is I couldn't tell if he came from the same side of the field or if he's come from the other field, but he's running an over route to the area where Tank just cleared out. And the underneath coverage took it away. I don't know why C.J. Stroud decided to throw it. It was a poor decision on C.J.'s part. But he tried to throw it high and let Stephon Diggs go up and get it. And, of course, he sailed it. Nobody touched it. Well, Kamari Lassiter standing back there because Tank Dell had ran him off and understands that the ball's not coming to Tank. He gets his eyes around. An awareness, I would say. Not a Pro Bowl level player or anything, but just an awareness. You're not just chasing Tank around the field. You realize once you get to a certain depth, you realize what's going on. You're pattern reading. You see the crossing route coming kind of deal. Well, he kicks his eyes back to the quarterback and gets his body turned around in time to make that pick on the overthrow by C.J. Stroud. It was again, not a great play, but a very headsy play. A very headsy play from a player that D'Amico Ryans has leaned into from a sense of being a guy that's like, yeah, he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. He's mature. He's aware. That was one of those plays that jumped off the field today with Kamari.
Well, he's starting to have them, right? As you said, he's starting to stack some days. I know a couple weeks ago before the injury, we saw he had a couple of good days. Last week, that was odd. That's why tomorrow I'm really looking forward to him facing the Rams and their passing attack with their receivers, because last week, as you said, it was almost a waste of time with the New York Giants and what they put together game plan wise. And then also within that, they didn't even really challenge him. I think there was almost, I can only remember one ball thrown his way. And, you know, it seemed like he was, you know, he was covering the, you know, quarters high and somebody had it lower and you know, the receiver got in between them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really on him. It was just wasn't a lot of challenging towards him, even though that was his first game. I think this coming up tomorrow has a chance to be a real challenge to him to see what's going to potentially be in front of him in the league outside of his own guys, outside of running up against the Texans offense every day.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how he runs and how he moves and how he – I know they're going to play it safe in terms of – I think it's a smart thing to do with him in terms of playing him soft and letting him come down and make tackles and letting him come down and defend underneath throws versus getting him in a spot where he's getting beat over the top. So I think they're going to protect him a lot, obviously, which you hope an offensive coordinator would do with a rookie cornerback. But we'll see. We'll see how he matches up. But that wasn't the only play today, Ron. This is the one that was more impressive to me. Not more impressive. I guess all things considered, they're both pretty impressive. But it was a drive, first play of a drive. C.J. Stroud's going to take the snap, and he's just going to give it to Tank Dell to the short side of the field on a little quick out route and get the drive started. It wouldn't have been but a little 4 or 5 yard gain maybe. But again, one of the better route runners in Tank Dell. And Kamari Lassiter runs the route for him, essentially. Jumps the route. He gets a PBU to start right there on the sideline. Defense goes crazy. It was a big league play. I mean, if he has the ability to sit on routes like that and get pass breakups on you know, 3, 4, 5 yard out routes versus guys like Tank Dell, this dude's got a real chance, man. I mean, it was two plays in about a 5 or 6 play span, I think, that were they threw the ball his direction and he looked really, really good. So again, he flashes there, man. It's still my number one watch. I'm still concerned about the young fella at the corner spot. I trust D'Amico and Derek Stingley Jr. are gonna be able to support him and help him weather the storm of being a rookie in this league. But I got to watch the matchup. And what I've seen of late, man, he's just steadily chopping wood. And what I've seen of late has been awfully impressive at that cornerback spot.
To me, at least in year one, I feel like the expectation is very similar to what I have for Kenyon Green. You know,
that's really another one,
really hold your own. You know, listen, I don't expect you to play at some sort of a Pro Bowl level. And I know you're going to get beat sometimes, and I know you're going to have some of these receivers and quarterbacks get you and trick you and make plays on you, but not consistent where it's like, man, he can't be on the field, or we've got to help so much.
Yeah.
So we've got to give so much help from him. So just hold your own this year. Very similar to Kenyon Green. And I think just like Kenyon Green, what he has shown us thus far in camp, that he is building towards that.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he is.
No doubt. He's building towards that. As I said, I think D'Amico's going to be able to protect him. And the defensive front, as it pertains to the pass game, the defensive front is going to force the football out quick a lot. So I think it's going to that's going to bode well for both corners, for all the cover defenders. This defensive front has got a chance. Again, as the versus the pass, I think they've got a chance to legitimately. I think this conversation is probably overblown with some defensive fronts. But this defensive front has a chance to push the ball out early a good chunk of time in games. Right? Force quarterbacks and offensive coordinators to throw the ball quick, not want to hold the football because you're scared of the sack, you're scared of the sack fumble, you're scared of the negative play. I do believe that the secondary, all the cover defenders, are going to benefit because most teams are going to have that approach, at least to start the game. And so Kamari Lassiter's got some good things going for him. He's got a lot of support. And, you know, the play caller, I think, is nobody's more important than the play caller. D'Amico's done it before. And I think he'll be fine. But we'll see. Today was a big day. I can't have this conversation, Ron, without talking about the run game because, once again, it just flashes to me. Two things. Joe Mixon, I'm not talking about whether he was hitting the holes or bouncing this or bouncing that. Schematically, I don't know exactly where he was supposed to be or when he was supposed to be there. But there's a couple of times after the play, you know, the running backs always finish 30, 40 yards downfield, where he's just flat getting it. I'm talking chin kicked up, head kicked back, and he is getting it down the middle of the field. And I'm telling you, if there was any concern about whether he's healthy or not, let that concern go out the window, because my man is absolutely healthy, and he is a horse, man. I don't know if it's just because the other backs aren't very big, I guess, on this squad, but he just seems like a dude that – he's a lot bigger than I thought he was, which I said all this stuff earlier in camp when he was practicing. But he appears to be ready, and he damn sure looks the part.
Yeah, he's looked. If he gets space, he can look like the Joe Mixon you've been used to seeing. I think it's just see how he is able to roll with this offensive line and how they're able to move.
I think individually, Ron, for me, with Kenyon Green answering the bell and Juice Scruggs answering the bell offensively, we've already seen Stephon Diggs. We've seen Tank Dell post gunshot, post broken leg. We've seen all that. Offensively, I think the only thing left to be seen by all of us fans is Joe Mixon. And not the fans are going to get to see it. Are the fans? Is it a fan day tomorrow? Joint practice fan day?
I'm not sure.
But I know we will get a chance. I don't know if the fans will, but we will definitely get a chance to see Joe Mixon in a little bit more lively action. Not real game action, but it'll be a little bit more lively. Like I said,
the
intensity was turned up today. The intensity will definitely be turned up tomorrow. And I would imagine that Joe Mixon is going to get some runs. So that'll be good to see. Ron, the one other thing that I saw today at practice, and this is a painful one for me, and maybe it's the old school in me, but you remember back in the day, man, when your offense or defense doesn't matter, but you know when you have a crappy rep, not you personally, but the whole squad, like something just didn't, somebody jumps off sides early or...
Do it again!
Do it again. Run it back. That's the word I was looking for. Run it back. You know, just it wasn't a good rep, so you just run it back. If you do it a couple of times, hell, you might start the whole drill over, right? Ron, I don't know how to
make... I'm at a practice start over.
Yeah, Danny Ford, he'd do that in a heartbeat now. I don't know how D'Amico Rines and Bobby Slowick don't at least run it back.
You ever watch Bobby?
Let y'all line up and run that play again. Like, we got to talk through something. Like, something ain't right. Ron, there were two, and I'm sure it happened multiple times, but there was in a very short span of time, I'm watching practice, and today I don't know what the it seemed like there was just a lot more run involved in today's game. In today's practice, I don't know what, maybe they're working on it. But anyway, there were two plays within about 5 minutes, I would say, of each other that were run plays. And the first one, as soon as CJ didn't even have his hand pulled out of the gut of Joe Mixon, before there was two defensive linemen standing in his face breathing down his neck. And I'm not talking about offensive linemen hanging on for dear life trying to get their block done. I'm talking about the D-line had won and they were standing there in his face. And then two, three plays later, it's kind of a more of an outside run to the left. There's two or three white shirts, defenses in white. There's two or three white shirts right there in Joe Mixon's face. I'm talking about two, three, 4 yards deep in the backfield. Like, I don't know how D'Amico Ryans, given what the struggles have been, and given what even D'Amico Ryans has said, we got to block up the run better. He said it today to the media. I don't know how those guys don't come unglued in those situations. I mean, both times it was right there in front, right in front.
Happening somewhere else.
But I don't. But you can, the part I'm talking about can't happen somewhere else, Ron. I'm talking about to run it again.
No, I know.
On the line, run it again right now. That ain't it.
In some form or fashion, the way that, because I do think he's made it a point to speak about it multiple times in reference to Damian Pierce not blocking it well. I'm with you. I don't know how it's not. Let's get on the ball and do it again.
I mean,
how's that happen? But I would imagine with D'Amico and Bobby, they're handling it somewhere else behind closed doors. But I'm with you. I am surprised that there's not a on it again. Hell, I'm surprised CJ hasn't come out or Joe Mixon hasn't come out and said, hey, let's do this. Like, can we get this rep again?
Oh, I guarantee you, I'm not knocking CJ for this, but I guarantee if it's a pass play, it happened.
Yeah.
I guarantee if it's pass protection we're talking about, because I never see that just be a complete bust. But it just seems like in the run game.
That's a good point. Why? You don't not say never. But rarely do you see the offensive line, not nearly as much as we do with the run game, see the offensive line just have guys just run through free, miss it, the way that you do with their run concept.
Yeah, it is wild. Now, maybe it has something to do with when the defense does win, they don't get anywhere near C.J. Stroud because they're afraid they might get cut if they bump him. they don't treat Joe Mixon that way. I don't know, but it just sure seems like it just seems like there's a level of, like, we hear them talk about being close. We're almost there. It's like, I don't think they're anywhere remotely close. And it just seems like the level of, the sense of urgency, I would think, would be a little bit more, hey, guys, get this stuff right. This is unacceptable. Instead of just, all right, move on. Let's keep practice moving. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you start the practice over. I mean, I don't know if that'd fly today. I'm not even saying you start the period over, but start the play over for sure would be nice. Nonetheless, that's what was at practice today. We'll be out there tomorrow, joint practice with the Rams. Today, Kamari Lassiter had a great day. Joe Mixon looks the damn part. And the run game up front is awfully leaky, man. The blocking up front is awfully leaky. That's what what I saw at practice today. I want to remind everybody out there as well, texting Texans. .com. I'm going to give away a few Hall of Fame, Andre Johnson Hall of Fame t-shirts. Texting Texans.com is it, you subscribe. All you got to do to get in for the Hall of Fame shirt.
I saw somebody on Texan Live was demanding their shirt from you.
Oh, you don't get one for free. You get in the drawing for free. I'm a random draw from the subscribers to get you one. Get one for free. Hopefully you win. But all you got to do is go to Texting Texans.com. Subscribe, finish the process very, really, really quick and easy, and you'll be in the drawing. It's all you got to do, and I'm gonna draw for some shirts on Free Tea Friday, baby. Free Tea Friday, and by the way, what that is, all it is, I will text you what I see at practice. I will text you what I hear from the coaches. I'll text you in game, post game. I'll keep you up to date on these texts. I'll be your eyes and ears for the Houston Texans. Via text. Don't have to worry about Twitter, Instagram, and all sorts of stuff. I'll do it via text. Hit you right on the hip with the latest with the Texans.
Texans report, Brandon Scott up in 30 minutes. Coming up next, I'm just the messenger. Alex Bregman played today. There's an update after the game on Alex Bregman. We'll let you hear what he had to say himself. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
But a foul tip will end it. Caught by Wong this time, and that'll do it for the Astros in the ninth. One hit, one left on. The Red Sox, after losing seven in a row to the Astros over two seasons, win the last two games of the series and send Houston on the road with a 3-3 homestand.
All right, the Astros lose today. Justin Verlander, pretty solid, especially towards the end, strong in his performance back for the first time in months, since June 9th, to be exact. But Alex Bregman felt pretty good. Clint Tyler, he was in the lineup. Led off. Altuve got the day off. Led off. He led off the game with a homer. But he was the DH. He wasn't playing third base. If you remember, he missed those five games in which it was supposed to be three. No structural damage or anything. Missed five games with swollen right elbow right behind it. We wonder, what does this mean? What does this mean? And today, Joe Espada before the game said, oh, yeah, maybe he could play some third base in a pinch. What Joe said. Alex Bregman spoke to the media himself in the post game as he kicked it off with it earlier this week, on Friday, to tell us about the injury initially. This is him talking about him potentially playing third base again.
Do you feel like you're going to be able to play the field soon?
We'll see. I feel like the rest of the year is going to be kind of just a fluid situation. Take it day by day and see how it feels every single day and kind of make a decision as it goes. Through today for the first time, arm felt good. Didn't feel any pain or discomfort or anything. But yeah, it's just going to be one of those things. Take day by day and kind of see how it feels the rest of the year going forward.
No, God!
Also reported, he said they're still swelling in the elbow. Some gremlins are in there near the UCL, is what he said. Some gremlins
are in there. Some little gremlins are in there, huh?
Causing it.
Meet your new DH, H-Town.
Damn, man.
It's a fluid
situation. If he's lost in the field, that's bad.
Well, just put Dubon over there at third base, but I'm sure they won't do that. But it's a fluid situation?
Well, this is not good.
Well, the thing is you can't, like, to me, if it's fluid and the part that aggravates it, or at least in theory, the part that aggravates it is throwing, then you can't play him in the field. You can't allow him to throw anything because then you risk him not being able to hit.
Yes. By the way, did he say his first time he played catch today?
He did say his first time he played catch. We were told that he played catch.
He's probably
he played catch with conviction for the first time.
He played
a game of catch. Maybe this time, like you said, it was conviction. Yeah.
Conviction.
There was an object to
light,
this game.
Light catch yesterday.
Very light.
Again, when he was asked if he's going to be back at third base, said it's a fluid situation the rest of the season. There's still swelling in the elbow. Some gremlins in there are causing it, he said.
Is Braggy being ridiculous?
Now it's gremlins. Come on. Now we've reached this cat in a hotel room, hurt himself to a point where it's a fluid situation over a week later, and he is quoting his gremlins. There's still swelling in there. Honest to God, I want to go home and try to do this.
Do what? Sleep on your arm?
Sleep in a situation where I would have swelling. For over
there's
a
clearly,
week,
Clint, there's clearly something me. In there, and throwing the ball is what hurt it. The sleeping thing may be what just triggered the pain or something. He may have woke up and thought he slept on it wrong, but clearly it's the gremlins. It's the gremlins that are in there, and it's throwing that aggravates it. And hell, I'd DH him the rest of the year.
All right, Tyler, what you because you really that when you say if he's not able to play in the field, you were about to lose your mind over there. That's a huge, huge thing.
To me, it is. That side of the infield, how important it is and what Bregman brings with that glove.
Even when he struggled, he had the glove with him earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, even if he gets off to the slowest start we've ever seen in baseball for 3 months, even if he goes on a cold streak, the dude pretty consistently is making plays in the field for the Stros. I don't like the way that sounded.
I don't like it. I don't like it either. But I just, it's one of those where, I mean, obviously him DHing today and hitting a bomb, it's clearly not swinging a bat.
Yeah, he can swing a bat. Yeah, he can swing the bat. It's just
and
the throwing
thing. If I've got, and again,
I'm just saying,
if I can have one or the other, give me Bregman at the plate. We'll put some Band-Aids in that damn field.
I'm listening to him and what Joe said. He don't sound like he was somebody that was going to be throwing the ball in the field today. And that's what Joe Espada said.
Yeah.
That could be an option. He didn't seem like a guy that was going to be throwing the ball in the field today. Good God, man. What in the hell is going on with these guys?
No injury bug, man. They're bit.
But it's the way that they get bit.
Who else can play third? Can Yiner Diaz play third?
Yes. No, you got Shea. You got Dubon. You got
Zinzo.
DeZinzo, he got in there and played some. He got him a hit today. Maybe this gets Greg Kessinger back in here. I don't know. All over the infield. Wow. Litmus Diaz said, damn, just when I let go.
He's still out there if they needed him.
By the way, we lost Trey Cabbage. God, how long has that game been over?
They sent him down to AAA within 24 minutes of the game ending.
The hell? Ben Gamel, who they traded for, he's been called up, an outfielder as well. But Trey Cabbage, back to Sugar Land.
See you.
Damn. I mean, we got to be a little bit better than that.
Lettuce.
Yeah. See, that felt harsh, man.
See you, lettuce.
Yeah, man, he put a different
greenery.
That old pink slip. Hey, bud, I know somebody probably put it in his locker in the ninth inning. Hey, come see us before you shower, bud.
From the text line, we really want to act like Dubon can't cover third. This show is and has been full of drama queens, all three of you.
Shut the hell up.
Stop
talking out of your ass.
I just don't. Who does it think that he can play third? I believe that's the first name I said.
Yeah.
Weird how that works.
I mean, you are a drama queen.
Open your damn ears.
Clearly, according to him, you are one too. Tyler gave him every reason. First, I said they should, as soon as you said it, like he's not playing third, I think they should put Dubon
absolutely
right at third.
Absolutely.
Although,
immediately.
By the way, has Dubon played third any of these games?
I don't remember. Maybe he played one earlier in the year, maybe, before Shea and DeZinzo became a thing.
Because, Shea has been starting, I think, all of them. And by the way, yes. The texts are texting in. Yeah, I know this means that Yordan has to play left field every day.
Mm.
And
I'm here for that.
Yeah, Dubon's played some third this year.
No, I know he's played some third this year. I'm talking about in the stretch since Bregman got hurt. I don't think in the five games that Bregman got injured, I don't think he played third in any of those games. Which it would.
The last time he played third, August 16th against the Chicago White Sox.
You know, my suggestion is Mauricio Dubon, but I know for sure that won't happen. They'll be damned if he gets any consistency on a daily basis. They'll be damned if Dubon gets any consistency on a daily basis. He comes out and rocks a double right off the bat today. They'll be damned if they do that because he's going to play all over the place. Although, if he can't play third, Dubon has obviously the arm to do it and can play and is a great when I say great defender all around, he won the gold glove as a utility guy last year. But it would make sense to place him there. It would make sense to place him there with his bat and his clutch gene that he has and his experience rather than playing DeZinzo and Shea.
I think when it matters, that's what happens.
Like, I don't know if we'll get the answers to this. I'd like to get a little bit more concrete on this Alex Bregman fluid all year thing.
Oh, fluid, yeah.
like this fluid all year
thing.
Yeah,
I don't know that we would have got that from Joe. That's why, I mean, I appreciate Bregman being the one speaking.
Catch. Joe said he's ready to go. But he said, damn, they're ready to go. Just holding him down. All right, coming up, our guy, another drama queen, our Texans report. Brandon Scott, he'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on things as we're getting closer and closer to the regular season.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, there it is. That's our guy. You see him on YouTube and Twitch. You hear him right here on Sports Radio 610, the Odyssey app. Brandon Scott with the Texans Report every single week, 4:40 right here on Wednesday. And today was much like we'll see during the season. Usually, D'Amico, we hear from CJ on Wednesday. I'm certain we'll probably hear from another defensive player this year. And I know you were out there, watch practice. Clint was out there, watch practice. And then afterwards, I know we heard from D'Amico. What was it? Because we talked about the run game a little bit. We played it a little bit. D'Amico was really out in front about that. What jumped out to you about what he had to say today when he talked to the media?
So we talked a little bit earlier about the offensive line and the run game is just an elephant in the room, right? Whether you're talking about the offensive line, whether you want to focus on a particular running back, that being Damian Pierce, you want to focus on the fact that Joe Mixon has missed time, that hadn't practiced as much or has been dinged up, if you will. Like, the running game is just overall, if you want to point to Bobby Slowick, and still the outstanding question I think that exists on whether or not he can adequately scheme up a run game. Like, I think he can, but it is fair to say that they haven't exactly done it yet. So it's a multifaceted issue, and I think D'Amico spoke more so about the offensive line, but what I'm really focusing on is what tomorrow brings. You know, like that joint practice with the Rams, the physicality of it. I think we're expecting it to be a physical practice. The sort of meeting of the minds of similar offensive philosophies, same sort of tree, similar sort of tree. Sean McVay, he's got the LaFleur little brother over there with him, and Bobby Slowick on the other side. And that question that we just asked, those are the things that stick out to me. Like, we'll finally watch them be physical. We'll get a chance to watch them be physical against a similar team, a well-coached team. And we've got all these questions about the run game. We hope we get some of them answered tomorrow.
Yeah, it's
even more so than the preseason game.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked about it a couple of segments ago. I think the big thing tomorrow, man, it's less about one individual and more about the whole offensive line for me. I mean, I'm watching practice today, and it's just like, I mean, there's guys just breaking straight through the line and damn near taking the handoff for Joe Mixon. And you're just like, how does that continue to happen with your ones, man? With the one, like, it's not just guys getting beat. It's guys completely missing or blowing assignments, or I mean, it's tough to continue to watch, and it's going to be really tough for D'Amico and Bobby Slowick to continue to go, well, we're close, boys. Close.
And this is why I focus a lot more. I know we're watching the players and we're evaluating the players, but we need to be evaluating the coaching as well. And that's why I think, you know, us watching it with a watchful eye, obviously you, Clint, have that attentive eye, you know, knowing offense and everything like that. Like, I think we need to pay attention to whether is it a physical issue. Like, these are the same guys that look pretty badass in pass blocking, in pass protection situations, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it's not like we don't feel like they physically match up. You look at those guys, I know we understand, hey, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard aren't necessarily, like, known for run blocking, but they are all physically adequate and equipped to do this job. It makes you wonder, okay, what is the missing link
here? It feels more like missed assignments than it does physicality. Because we had a listener texting in earlier about they're not physical enough or tough enough or any of that. Like, I'm not going to say they are. They're not road graders. These aren't nasty dudes. But some of this is just, as Clint said, I mean, this is just a guy just ran through. A guy's just missed. A guy, like, were we supposed to double team? When are we supposed to get to the linebacker? Am I supposed to release him? It's like missed assignments
It's why, really, I question whether it is coached and or schemed properly. And I don't have the right answer to it, but that, to me, is the question. It's what stands out. It's like, hey, these guys look like they should be able to do this job. Why can't they?
The key is it's very fair, and I think it's all of the above. I mean, you watch the outside zone play, that little sweep, little toss play that Damian Pierce ran, and you've got a wide receiver that, instead of blocking a corner that's hard pressed, he goes up and tries to block a safety that's 15 yards deep and backpedaling. And then the result is you've got an extra helmet at the point of attack. Like, so schematically, that don't make sense. Like, he should block the corner, the pull-in lineman that ends up one-on-two, he blocks the remaining defender, and the safety's got to come from 20 yards deep to make the tackle.
Yeah.
So schematically, there's a problem there.
Yeah, why would you ask the running back to make the guy miss who's much closer?
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's math and science at that point. Like,
yeah,
hey.
So I only say all that, though, B. Scott, to say I think it's – the scary part is it's – I think it's a little bit of all of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the inability to execute the double team up to the second level and not ever get off of the down lineman, or not when you do get to the second level, not even touching the linebacker, him running right by you like he wasn't there. Like, it just happens way too often for this football team.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if we continue to see it look like this, I'm going to be at a point pretty early on in the season, fellas, where I'm like, man, you can't abandon the run game because you got to actually do it a little bit. But, man, just throw that thing. Just throw that ball.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? CJ.
It's annoying. Stephon Diggs. It's so annoying. And they have to keep teams honest. They're going to be playing better defenses and better teams and against better coaches that it's just going to make life easier. And like we're saying, with what they have on the outside and the fear their passing game puts in it, they should be able to run well enough to keep people honest. That's that.
Yeah. And of course, it's obviously like it becomes a down and distance situation.
Yeah.
But also, like, I honestly, I feel like if this is what it's going to be, you're going to have to decide very early on how much running the ball equates to wasting a down. Like, do you want to waste a down trying to establish the run? Like, what is the balance between not wasting downs but also still imposing a certain level of physicality that running the ball requires, right? Or just speaks to. Like, because you force them to tackle, you force them to get off blocks. Like, functionally, it makes sense to run the ball even if you don't get but a yard just because you imposing some sort of will. But is it worth it is the question. And I don't know the answer.
I'm with you. I want to see I desperately can't wait to see Joe Mixon tomorrow against another defense to see what that looks like. All right, Brandon Scott in with this Texans report. B. Scott, quick and easy here. And you can dive and take this where you want to take it. Did John Metchie go ahead and lock his name to this team? Is he a 100% lock on this team, do you?
So the big takeaway from the weekend for me was how quickly the narrative can change. And I didn't feel like it was because we were being wishy-washy or flip-flopping. I thought we got new evidence. And the evidence gave us, hey, going into the weekend, Damian Pierce, we don't know how many carries he's going to get. We don't know what string running back he's going to be. But he's going to be on this team. Damian Pierce going to be on this team. John Metchie? Not quite sure. That completely flipped. John Metchie looked like he probably going to be on this team based off of what he's able to show you over the weekend. And that conversation flipped for Damian Pierce to where you're like, man, I don't know if all the backs ain't better options at this point. You know? And so that was what was striking about the weekend, about one preseason game. We'll talk about how meaningful a preseason game can be. Maybe it's not, but it definitely changed the way I looked at two, I think, players that they like a lot and that they're rooting for, but both have question marks, like serious issues as to whether they should be on the team.
B. Scott, a couple of flash plays today at practice from Kamari Lassiter. I only say that to say that he's another one, right, that with this joint practice tomorrow, that's another guy that another spot where we could learn a little bit more about number 14, given the intensity and a new squad coming in to joint practice.
So I know we look at him on varying and different levels, but I'm at this point, y'all, to where I'm going into it now with an expectation. The way they talk,
what kind of an expectation? Oh, I've got an expectation too.
The way that they discuss Kamari Lassiter, the way he has been, I'm not going to even say given the job. I feel like if this is where it's at, then he's probably earned it. Like, based off of what we've seen so far and the way we discussed Kamari Lassiter, I'm expecting him to go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go out there and perform. Like, he'll have rookie struggles and moments, and being a cornerback is part of it, is like being able to dust yourself off and accept some failure here and there. That, like, that's just part of the position. But like watching him go up against Stephon Diggs and perform, watching him go up against Tank Dell, guys like that, and perform, I'm expecting him to go up against whoever he's matched up against the Rams and so on and so forth throughout the season. I have expectations now for Kamari Lassiter based off of him winning that job and how much they like him. Yeah, listen to D'Amico talk about
it. I've gotten to a point, man. I'm in a place similar to Kenyon Green in terms of
Kenyon Green.
Yeah, their expectations. I feel like this will be very fair when I explain it. the expectations with them is, listen, I don't expect you to come in here to be a star or to play at a Pro Bowl level, but you're going to get picked on. Can you hold your own more times than not? Right, they're going to pick on him, just like they're gonna line up receivers and go after him, so they don't have to go after Derek Stingley. Like, we're gonna see a lot of in week one, we're gonna see a lot of Buckner lining up on that left side as opposed to Shaq Mason's side to try to create that. Don't expect for you to just play at a Pro Bowl level, but can you hold your own and not make it a situation where it's like, God, man, that's the duck, or we got to get out of that, or we got to kind of change things. And I think both of them are trending to the level of, yes, I think they can go out there and play to the expectation of being solid players to hold their own and be able to withstand what teams are going to try to do to them.
Yeah, I'm with you on the so far so good part. Like, I think from what you've seen so far, you have to feel good about it. But the issue with Kamari Lassiter is that you haven't seen as much of it in game.
Or
against the type of competition.
Daniel Jones, for some reason they said, we're going to attack Stingley today.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to attack him poorly too. Like, we're not going to even be good at it. So, yeah, no, that was a bad idea. I don't feel like Kamari Lassiter has been tested in a way that I think we all want to see him be tested eventually. Okay. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Tomorrow, maybe. Puka.
Yeah, for sure. But to your point, both of those guys, like, we have seen plenty of Kenyon Green, and so far, so good with that. So, yeah, those are definitely two dudes that you want to see as much of as you possibly can starters.
I was ready to just jump down. I mean, when I said Kenyon Green, man, yeah. You reacted like Kenyon. Well,
you know where he's going with that.
But, well, because Kenyon Green actually has, really, dog, he's got tape that he's got to redeem himself from, whereas Kamari Lassiter is a blank canvas. But you are right about being picked on. Will be picked on.
Is it fair right now, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit more tomorrow or something, but we can throw it here. Is it fair to just kind of throw a little of the old Kenyon Green tape out? Because he's a completely different
dude.
Body player. Like, that's not even that guy who played against the Saints or who just got just ridiculously embarrassed against the Cowboys. Like, that's not even the same guy.
Yeah, wow. So
I get what you're saying.
I'm not going to lie to you and say y'all remember a whole lot about that Saints preseason game, but I'll say this. Kenyon Green, I've been saying, I thought that year off had to benefit him. And honestly, the last time he played regular season football, which is in that Indianapolis Colts game that I felt like they were supposed to lose and they won anyway, he played well. Nobody wanted to talk about that because that wasn't the storyline after it. But the last time he played regular season football, and it was before all this body transformation stuff, he was trending in the right direction. So I'm not as down on Kenyon Green so long as his head is in the game and he can stay his behind on the field.
All right, that's Brandon Scott. Every single Wednesday, Texas Report with Brandon Scott, 440. You can catch all his work at sportsradio610.com as well. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire, a lot of news. A lot of news with your Houston Astros, some good, some bad. We'll tell you what the latest is with Alex Bregman and give you the update on what Justin Verlander did in his return today. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.